Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. My co-host Barbara will be here soon, but until then, we have our guest, Nicole Mitchell, and I have actually my Barbara, are you here?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, everybody.
Hi. All right, this is Barbara. This is Nicole Mitchell. Now
I
have a feeling that I think the two of you
sorry,
have a
I'm
lot
getting
to talk
the busy
about.
Signal trying to connect today to the show, but I'm here now. So welcome, Nicole.
Thank you.
Excited
so much
to have
for having
you.
Me. Thank you.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Okay, great.
Now,
well, I'm here now, Johnny, So it's fine. Let's go on. I can't wait to talk to our wonderful special guest today.
When I first met Nicole, one of the things that amazed me was that she describes herself as a pastor turned stripper who helps people build lives based on the truth to make money doing what they love. And she's also a life coach, and she works one-on-one with clients. And the thing that's interesting about it is that she mentioned that she has tried to get into Playboy before. And before the show, you know, she asked me some questions about it, and I told her I wasn't the one to answer those questions. But that's why I figured the two of you had to come. And, I mean, I think what it is that I think a lot of times when somebody talks about sex in general, it becomes a very hard subject to talk about, especially when you link the two religion together. Does that make sense, Barbara and Nicole?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Go ahead, Nicole. Yes, you can elaborate on that one first.
Yes, absolutely. So for those who are just hopping on, I'm Nicole Mitchell, and I am a pastor turned stripper. I used to be a pastor at a mega church. Grew up in the church, identified, my whole identity was wrapped up in the church. And the older I got, the more I felt like I wasn't living my authentic truth. And there was a part of me that I felt like I had to hide in order to not lose my job at my church. And one of the things is that I was queer, and this was at a church that was not affirming. And there was obviously no room to be a stripper or a performer of any kind. And it kind of reached a head a few years ago in 2017 where I felt like I was starting to live a duplicitous life. And I wanted to live a fully integrated life and no longer be fragmented. And that required me to make a very real and hard decision. And that was to walk away from everything I had always identified as a Christian, as a pastor, as a church leader, And really all I did was step into the unknown. I didn't even know where exactly I was going to go, because I felt, you know, the voice, the spirit, God, universe, whatever you want to call it, was calling me to go. And I finally had the courage to listen and go. And here we are a few years later, and I am a stripper, and I have an OnlyFans site where I post my uncensored explicit content, and I'm the happiest I've ever been. Because I'm finally being who I want to be, who I came here to be, and I get to live life on my terms. And I am so grateful. Not saying it's easy, but I'm grateful to have followed that tug that was within me.
Wow, that is very interesting, because I have sat in church many times. You know, I'm drawn to go, and then I've sat there. And I have to hold back tears because I think, well, do I belong here? Am I a sinner?
Exactly.
If everybody knew really that I had posed for Playboy, would they think that I am bad? So, wow. And you were actually a pastor pastoring a church and then had that feeling too. Is that correct? That you were actually a pastor feeling that? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And you,
and I think you're right.
Denying,
go ahead.
Instead of denying your feelings of wanting to, you know, just express yourself basically with nudity and modeling, you could have said no to that and gone fully into you know, just closing your eyes to all of that, the feelings that you had, the longing to do it, and going for pastoring, but you decided to, no, hey, I'm an individual. I'm drawn to express myself this way, and that I'm not going to deny that anymore. And that's what you did. Wow.
Exactly. Most of my life, yeah, just denying that desire to be seen for who I really am and this desire to live a fully expressed life. I mean, ever since I was a little girl, I fantasized about being a dancer and a stripper and a performer, and very quickly learned there was no room for that in the church. And very much tried to stuff down those feelings. And when I realized, I didn't realize I was queer until my early 30s. And even that too is like, just take it to the grave. Just take your identity, take your desires to the grave. You look straight, you pass straight, you look like you have this dream life and job. Like, don't interrupt or disrupt this, Nicole. And yet I'm way too authentic of a soul to do that, to pretend and deny and stuff down, and finally had to, like, light in me, come out. And I love that you say that, like how you know, you feel drawn to the church, but then you wonder, do I belong here? Is there space for me? Am I safe here? Because people will ask me, do you ever see yourself becoming a pastor again? And I realize I still am a pastor. People come to me for guidance and support, coaching, and like, but, like, my love is all-inclusive, and it's more encompassing, and, like, all are welcome here. There's no one who's not welcome in my space or in conversation with me. And so I love that I've been able to break out of the four walls of a church building and out of the pulpit, and now I have it. My pulpit's a new platform. It's social media, typically. And my audience is much larger, and I have a much bigger and authentic reach, and I'm incredibly grateful for that.
I have a question.
Wonderful.
There is guy, his name is Carlton Pearson, and I don't know if you know who he is or not, but what happened was he used to work with like people like Oral Roberts, and he used to work with like people like George W. Bush and everything, real right wing. And then one day he got an epiphany. He's a Christian. He's still a Christian, but he doesn't believe in the literal hell. He woke up one morning and decided that the literal hell doesn't exist, which changes everything. Because, you know, all of a sudden, so then one day he gets called to speak at this church. And he goes into the church and he realizes that, like, the preacher is HIV, the minister, the lady who sings in the choir is a lesbian, or another one is HIV positive. I mean, these are all people that... Mm-hmm. that under normal circumstances we sent away. And but then they accepted him in. And I think that what it is, I think what you're saying is you want to feel accepted, it seems, because there's a lot of people that would see what you do or say and pass judgment. Am I right in saying that?
Oh, totally. It's very easy to judge by appearance. Like, even just reading the title on my interviews or on my website or on my social media where it says pastor turned stripper, it's perfectly natural for people to make an assumption, to make a judgment. But my hope is in everything I do and however I identify, is what I'm really trying to do is help people lean in with curiosity. Instead of assuming, instead of judging, lean in, listen, learn. See what might be here for you. What can unfold between you and me, whether it's just by you watching or by you engaging or us having a conversation or you working with me one-on-one. I always want to create space for people to lean in and learn. And I think when people do that, they learn to drop their judgment. They shift into a better perspective and better way of being, and everyone benefits from that.
Well, I wanted to know what happened. I like to go along with the steps, and I love to hear all of the reasoning and all of that, of course, but I am wondering what happened. Here you were a pastor and you came out and you said this. Were you telling a congregation, your congregation, this decision?
Right. No. So it's really interesting. Like, as we know, with any place we work at, whether it's religious or not, any institution, there's a lot of politics that happen behind the scenes. So my poor and blessed congregation. Like, I love the people there dearly. I wasn't able to tell them my truth. That was not a space where my truth was welcomed, not because of my people in the church. I think the congregation, I think a lot of them would have been gracious and open to that, but the leadership at my church would not let that happen. Because I noticed as I rose up in this church, because there was like a pastoral team, and the higher I rose up, the more censored I became. Like, my sermons were extremely edited and censored. I was very much told, like, queer affirming, you have to be really, because they knew I was affirming before they knew I was ever queer. Like, they're like, you have to be really careful to not, like, let people know about that. So everything was really controlled and censored the higher I rose up, and it became harder to actually say what I really wanted to say and be my version of the of myself. They were trying to make me their version of themselves through me. And it just got to a breaking point where I was so tightly controlled and censored that I had to leave. There was, and I had tried for years, 3 years, I was in conversation with the leadership, trying to help them cultivate a space where people's authentic selves, including me, could be there and be supported and seen and loved and not shoved down and hidden. And no matter how many conversations I had, no matter how much I tried to move that needle forward, it did not budge. So on the weekend, I did like my biggest sermon yet, because we had, it was a mega church. So we have 3 services there on the weekends. And I preached at all 3. It was like the pinnacle of my time there. I had worked so hard to reach that point. But I went into that weekend service knowing I would never set foot back into that church again, because the leadership had made it very clear to me I was not welcome and I was not safe there. And it was just a matter of time before they could get rid of me in one way or another. And so I decided to walk out on my terms. So no, my church never got to hear my side of the story. I just was published in the New York Post today. This is really the first time between that article and then this interview I'm doing and another interview I did yesterday is the first time I've really opened up about this side of my story. And this happened 3 years ago.
Wow. So, this is so recent,
yeah.
Then.
Oh, very recent.
Coming out now. Wow. Can you tell the listeners where they can find you so they can follow along? Because this is really amazing. This is interesting.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
You can find me at my website, which is NicoleMitchell.com. And my name's spelled with a K, NicoleMitchell.com. And you can find all my social media on there. I'm really active on Facebook and Instagram. Please come join. Please say hi. I love meeting new souls. And my hope through all of this and the journey of me finding my true self and living my authentic truth is to give people permission to do the same thing, to be a living demonstration of what's possible, that you can make a hard pivot like this and it seems like you're going to lose everything, but you actually, I have the most incredible friends, the most incredible love, the most incredible support, the most incredible community I've ever had. And as hard as that pivot and transition was, I am so grateful to be on this other side. And now it's my honor and privilege to support people in their journeys to their home, to coming home to themselves.
Oh, that's wonderful. That makes me feel better. All of those years I sat in church wondering if I was a sinner. How do you come to terms with that? I mean, you don't feel that. I'm assuming you don't feel like you are at all.
Yes, no.
Why do we feel
really...
this?
Yes.
Oh, one more thing before you answer. Hold on, Nicole, one more thing. The reason also where that I felt like I would never be able to tell a church is because when I was a young girl, this church was huge, and the music leader came out and said that he was gay, and I really believe that he thought he was going to be accepted. And no way, they did not accept him. They kicked him out of the church, and he was so amazing as a music leader. And I thought, even when I was 9 or 10 years old, I thought, that's wrong. That really is wrong. The Christians are supposed to accept everybody and love everybody and not judge anybody. Mm-hmm. And they're just showing their whole congregation and me right now that, no, that is not true. They do not accept everybody. Look at what they just did. Yeah.
Yes. No, that's such a beautiful example of like a lot of things we pick up on children isn't even explicitly taught. It's caught. So even in the churches I grew up in, I don't remember them ever explicitly saying women cannot lead, women must be in the kitchen, women must use the children. But that's all I saw. All the leaders were men, all the pastors were men, and all the women were either in the kitchen or in the nursery. So as a child, I picked up on the very clear messaging where I belonged as a woman. And so, like, we've been programmed from a young age to feel shame over our bodies, shame over our desires, shame over who we want to be. And so when we have this feeling of, like, am I a sinner? Did I ruin this? Am I backslidden? That is not from God. That's not from our pure essence. That's from outside voices who told us a lie, and we bought into it. And so part of my work as a life coach now is to help people unpack and deconstruct the lies they were handed down and return back to the truth that who they are is good and holy and divine, and there's nothing wrong with them. And for people like you and like me who had these, like, really painful experiences in the church, we have sometimes a lot more work to do than someone who didn't have that kind of experience. Maybe they didn't grow up in the church. And so I had to do a lot of deconstructing around what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad. And through all of this, I have found almost anything that has to do with right or wrong, good or bad, is a social construct. And, like, and not something that is born from within us, not that it comes from God. It comes from a lot of cis white men in power deciding what people can and cannot do, what people should and should not do. And part of what we do as women, as queer people, as people of color, is we decide for ourselves what our life is to look like and not let outside voices influence that. And that's how we take our power back. That's how we resist the systems. And that's how we create a whole new world where everyone is safe to be their truest selves.
That's wonderful. And so obviously you have no regrets. And how is it living this life that is just so open and with no regret and no guilt either?
Yes,
how is
yes.
it now living this life?
That's such a good question, Barbara. I love that question. It is so expansive and life-giving and liberating. When you have tried your whole life to fit in a box and fit in a mold and try to be everything everyone else needed you to be, but at cost to denying your truth and denying your peace and denying your calling, it's like you can finally breathe and you can finally laugh, and there's no more fear of being caught. I was so afraid of my queerness being found out. I was so afraid of being seen at a burlesque or drag show. Like, I was so afraid of being found out, and being found out for what? For being who I really am. So when I could finally drop the performance of being someone that I'm not actually am anymore, the more peace I had. And I don't want to lie and say this was easy. There have been a lot of tears in this process. I've lost a lot of beautiful humans in my life, but I've also gained so much. I've gained my peace. I've gained my integrity. I've gained beautiful friendships and humans in my life. I've gained incredible opportunities, like being on your podcast. So the transition, the pivot, has totally been worth it. So even when it's hard, I always tell my people, keep going. It gets easier, and it gets so much better.
That is really wonderful to hear that. It's a good outcome, and it was worth it for you.
Oh,
yeah, no more hiding.
Yeah.
No more hiding.
No more pretending. No more fear. Yes.
I like your website. I want to make sure. You are really gorgeous. I love it. Nicole Mitchell with a K. And you have a beautiful, it's hot pink, right? And you're so adorable.
Yes.
Yeah,
I really was looking forward to the two of you meeting, because it was like as soon as she was saying, well, you know, I've been on Jimmy, I was on Jimmy Kimmel, and then it was right up for Playboy, and I went, Playboy? Oh, I have to get her introduced to Barbara, because, you know, a lot of times what happens is that, well, the only reason that I'm saying this is that I had Terry Lynn Doss, who was a Playboy playmate, on the show one time, and I think sometimes, you know, girls cry out for Playboy, but then, you know, it's not the safe road. I mean, you know, you need to make sure that you're going the safe road, that this is really Playboy and not some guy, you know, with handcuffs and a camera. I mean, you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
It's,
yeah.
I mean, I don't have anything wrong with being with a woman posing nude. I'm just saying being safe about it. I wouldn't want you to.
Well,
get
I'm sure
hurt.
She knew she was dealing with Playboy Enterprises or some guy with handcuffs. I mean, she's pretty smart there, Johnny. I mean, it's
well,
not
I know
that hard
that,
to
but, well, wait a minute. Now, I'm not saying that she's not smart, but you have to admit there have been girls that have been killed that are smart too.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, but I don't think they thought. Okay. Yes, I understand. Be safe, everybody. Yes. But when somebody calls up Playboy Enterprises, they know they're working with them. So don't go off and go to the Angeles Forest with some guy that you don't even really know just because he says he is. And shoot with him out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, don't do it, people. But, you know,
right.
That's very rare that that's going to happen. People, when they call a company and go to the enterprises, that's the way to do it. Go there.
Yeah.
Make sure you're going to the right place. Okay. But thanks for the warning, Johnny. Thanks.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it was just well intentioned. You know, I just, that's all. I think, you know, what she
because
said.
Because you're telling
you know,
her, you're telling Nicole right now to be careful in that manner. That's what I am referring to. I'm sure she knows if she's dealing with Playboy Enterprises or, right, Nicole? I mean, I'm sure
right.
you would know the difference.
This is a really important conversation because I model, well, before COVID, I was modeling full time. It slowed down a bit, but I do my homework on every photographer who reaches out to me, every company. What I love about the modeling world is it's incredibly small, and the models really do look out for each other. So before I ever work with any photographer, I message at least three models that photographer has worked with. And I ask, was the photographer safe? Was the photographer respectful? Would you recommend working with a photographer? And models are so honest. Like, we look out for each other, and they'll be like, oh, my God, this photographer is amazing. You're going to have a blast. So respectful, so safe. And I've had models be like, hell no, incredibly inappropriate. Don't waste your time. It was an awful experience. And so, yeah, if you get into modeling, if you get into any kind of this work, what I teach my clients and women who come to me is you have to do your homework. And I teach all this inside. I actually teach digital courses, and one of them is called Sexy and Free. So it's all about learning to feel safe, being sexy, being free. And I teach you how to get into modeling, and I teach you little tips and strategies like these so that you are safe. Because we don't want anything bad to happen. And I want everyone to have a really positive experience. And there's all kinds of things you can do to ensure that. And then it's amazing. You get to be fully expressed and be fully safe.
Okay, so that's good. Then you are the person to get help from with that kind of thing. That's wonderful.
Yes.
So
yes.
Everybody could go to you for that. And now you are a life coach. But I want to know, do you ever preach? Do you are you a guest at churches? And obviously you have experience as a pastor, which is, you know, you want to be able to use that too in the future. Do you still preach at different churches?
Great question. I don't preach at churches, but it's funny, like when I do my Facebook Lives and when I do my group mastermind calls, my clients will tell me, or even people who watch my Facebook Lives, they're like, woo, we can tell you're a preacher. Like, you brought the word. So my style presentation is very preacher-esque.
Well,
so
actually,
I want
to say something.
All the time.
I love that.
I want to say something. You know, it's funny because one time, in Catholic, I think it was a Catholic school, or not Catholic school, but a Sunday school, they had us, like, build a church. And what they told us is the biblical definition of church, because I'm a philosophy major, and I learned this, it's the assembly of those who are called out. Now, if you'll notice, it doesn't say anything about a big building with a cross on the top. It doesn't say that.
Exactly.
It says assembly of those who are called out. So, you know, there's nothing that says that you are not in a church. It's just that, you know, it may not be, you know, the kind of the church that we imagine, you know. But,
Yes, the world can be your church. I mean, you can pray anywhere. You can worship God anywhere. It's nice to be able to go to a place, a congregation, where you feel like it's a family. You feel like the people, they're your rocks for you. That's wonderful. But if you can't find it, you're going to just have to do it yourself.
Yeah, totally. And that's what I ended up doing. I kept trying to find a place where I could fit in as a pastor and just as a congregant. And when I couldn't find my place, I decided to create my own place, which became a virtual place. Like my social media, Instagram and Facebook especially, is like my pulpit. it's my community. It's my congregation where I show up every day. I share from my heart every day. I connect with people in real time. And that has very much become my church and my outreach and my ministry. And I love it because it's based on who I really am. I have a much larger audience. I have, I think, a bigger impact. And that is ultimately making the world a better place.
That's a key, to be a bigger impact. And I bet there's so many people you've changed their lives because they finally found somebody who understands what they've been going through. And are those testimonies listed on your website so people can read about how you've changed others' lives as well?
You know, that's a goal of mine. It's not on my website, which it should be, but it is in my Facebook. I have a Facebook album called Raves and Reviews, and there's like hundreds of testimonials in there of clients I've worked with, course students I've worked with whose lives have been changed. And I highly recommend people checking it out. Just to even show it's possible, not even just to highlight my work as a coach, it's just to show you it's possible that you can go from point A to point Z really fast. You can go from being broke to making a shit ton of money really fast. You can go from one career to a whole different career and be successful really fast. So even just reading through those reviews and raves is just a great way to boost yourself and realize just how powerful you are as the co-creator of your life.
I love that feature on Facebook. I love that. So why would you even need to put it on your website? You could just link that section, rave reviews, and link it to the Facebook because they have it all set up for you. And I was surprised when I found that I had some reviews. I never even set up reviews, I don't think. And then I had some nice reviews from people I worked with. So yes, I will check that out. I'm so excited to follow you. I already made sure that Life, Laughter, Happiness Twitter is following you. And
awesome.
I mean, this is so interesting. And it's not just because I feel like we have that same connection with modeling and the other thing that was big, how I felt guilty sitting there in that audience at the church. But it's so weird. I never even told anybody this. I've always thought I wanted to be a televangelist, but that is because I wanted to be on TV and doing it. And I thought, well, I'll never be able to do that. But yes, I will. If I want to, I can, because you have already paved the way.
Yes. Oh, Barbara, I love that idea. I think like women who know who they are, own who they are, own their past, own the story, have so much to offer the world. And I just think in religious spaces, there is just a lack of a feminine presence, a feminine like leadership. And so I think there's just a huge need for women of all backgrounds, all ages, all races, all ethnicities, all stories to take up space. And whether you do that in an actual building of a church or you do that online or you do that on TV, like there's just not enough of feminine voices leading the way. And so I'm super pumped about that idea for you.
Oh,
and you know,
thank
actually,
you. And this
funny
is the time. Online is the time
because,
to do it because of COVID. Sorry,
Nicole,
Tony.
You know, like
absolutely.
One of the things, like, you know, it's funny that you talk about female stuff because one of the things I'm going to be doing for Barbara is I'm going to be making Barbara a channel for her. And we don't have a name yet, but it's going to be like sisterhood or something. I'm letting Barbara choose the name, but I want it to be Barbara's channel, and I want her to be able to put stuff on there that she wants, you know. And
now
and,
sometimes for my preaching.
Yes, Barbara the preacher coming out. I love this.
I love it too. And you know what? We do have a lot to offer. I mean, the story that you tell, your testimony of how you got there, it draws people in. It's a magnet for so many people. If I felt that sitting there, you know, sitting in church after I did Playboy, if I felt that, I was 25 years old and on. I've always felt that. I go home and go to my mom's church and I sit there. Well, now I'm like, no, I know I'm not a sinner. I just express myself in a unique way. I feel like I got over it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good way
I
to put
love
it, right?
That. Yes, yeah. It's beautiful.
And there's nothing wrong with the human body. I mean, God made created us.
Exactly. Like, didn't God make us naked? Like, are we just
actually,
our pure self?
Hugh Hefner, I think it was Larry Flynt said something one time. He says that, you know, he was debating you, Jerry Falwell. He goes, Well, you know, if you want to complain about being naked, why don't you just complain to the man to the manufacturer? You know,
right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Complain about your body. Complain to the manufacturer. You know, just like this.
Yeah.
I like the idea.
I love that.
I like the idea
and
that there's that at least it's not you're not promoting violence, you know, or anything like that. I mean, nobody's, you know.
Exactly.
So
no,
that's what
I
like.
Want to add something, Johnny. I wanted to add something along with what you were saying. Hugh Hefner said, because I was just watching the latest thing on Prime Video called American Playboy, and it's really good. And he said, there's nothing wrong, in one of his interviews, there's nothing wrong with sex, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying it. So why is everybody so secretive about it, acting like they are guilty for doing it? I mean, it's a pleasure, a God-given pleasure that he gave to us. And, you know, it's really like that more in America. Do you think that, Nicole, rather than how sex is looked at in Europe or other countries? What do you feel about that? I feel like it's so good, and why be guilty about it?
Yes, totally. It's so, like, fascinating. Like, it's something in America we don't ever talk about, but we should all be really good at, but don't ever admit that to anyone. And it's like, how can we be good at something we're not even willing to talk about? Like, we have to talk about things, and we have to talk about consent. And yes, like, when there's, like, you know, sex or sensuality or any exchange of that kind of thing between consenting adults, there's nothing wrong with that. And in fact, it can be incredibly beautiful and life-giving and healing. And I always just find it so fascinating that we're so afraid of something that can bring us so much pleasure, because I think nation and fear-based mongering that has happened. But I also think, like, over evolution and just in our bodies, we are so hardwired for survival that pleasure exists solely in the thriving mode. So when we start to experience pleasure, it triggers our old ways of thinking and being. Like, this must be dangerous, because if we put our guard down, something bad can happen to us. And if we can just acknowledge that that's how it was once for humans a long time ago, but that's not the situation anymore. We're safe. We're okay. We're not hunters and gatherers who are trying to fight for our lives every day against wildlife and the elements of nature. We have homes, and we have a job, and we have lodging, and, like, it's safe to explore. It's safe to connect. And pleasure is not bad. Pleasure is a gift. And I always like to remind people, like, the fact that we have a clitoris with 8,000 nerve endings that exists solely for pleasure makes me think God is pretty okay with people having pleasure.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why some countries try to cut a girl in her.
Yeah. Oh, awful.
Horrible. Horrible.
Yeah.
Still done to this day. Barbaric.
Yep. Like, we're so afraid of pleasure. We'll, like, mutilate someone so they don't.
Yeah, mutilate.
And it's just heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking.
I want to say something else. I want to, because I think this is only, I'm trying to think of something that I can say from a man's perspective, but this is with the Playboy thing. I have noticed that men, when they talk about Playboy, will say, well, I love the articles. And I think I can explain that if I can. I think what it is that because people, like, you know, some women, what they'll do when they post for the magazine, what they're actually saying is, okay, you think of me in a sexual way. Okay, that's fine. Think of me in a sexual way. Now, when you get that out of your system, get to know the other parts of me. And a lot of times when a man hears that from a woman, he will want to know the other parts. That's why, that he will start to appreciate the other parts of her. Like, oh, you know, if a woman's a mom, or if, you know, she has a job and all this other stuff. Because you are allowing men to look at you in a sexual way, you're not offended by it. So when the man looks at it and lets it out of your system, he will want to be more of a gentleman towards you because you're letting it out of his system. That part of a man, and I'm only going to say this, the part of a man that's very basic, that's very primal, that has to do really with just being aroused, It's a very embarrassing part, especially of you when you're a man, especially when you're trying to be a gentleman all the time to a woman. I mean that part of you that just lets it all out when you really let all the libido out can be very scary. you know.
Right,
so.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Jonathan, because I just part of my work as like as a stripper, as someone who has a OnlyFans site, is what I'm doing for both men, women, and people of all genders is reclaiming the goodness of our desires. That desires
right.
aren't innately or automatically bad. And to be able to hold space for people to acknowledge their desires, to express their desires, is something I'm really, really good at. And even if a man communicates his desire to me in a way that's not ideal, I can still see the good intention behind it. I can see that he just sees something beautiful, he sees something attractive, and he's trying to compliment that. And maybe the compliment
yeah.
isn't written in the best way, but I don't get caught up in the form of it because I understand the content of what he's saying, and I can respect
exactly.
it. I can honor that.
It's hard because, see, the thing is that, like for example, I mean, I have looked at pictures of women before, some of, you know, Barbara's friends and everything, and it's hard to be a gentleman, you know, and or looking at a picture of you, you know, I'm trying to be a gentleman here, but at the same time, I look at them like, whoa, and you know, it's just, it's not me. That part of me is a very humbling part. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's a very vulnerable part. It's a very,
yeah.
I mean, it's,
oh,
it's,
I love
it,
that.
I think when you can, what?
She
what?
Said
what
she loves
say?
It. That's nice.
Yeah,
so,
I love that. I love
like,
how you describe
you
that as vulnerable.
That, when you allow a man to let out that part, he will try, I will, you know, I can speak for myself. I think a man, if he has a good heart, will try to be more of a gentleman to you because he'll be like, oh my God, she's letting that part out because there are a lot of celebrities out there, they do not want to be sexualized at all.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
and but see, what happens is that it becomes like an elephant in the room. You just look at them, you sexualize
mm-hmm.
them. So,
yeah.
you know, what you do is you just say, okay, no, wait, you're going to sexualize me. Okay, fine, do it. Let it out. Let it all
well,
out.
Well,
okay.
Hold on. I don't let the, if there's a fan, most of them are so sweet. The majority, my fans,
yeah.
I love them. They're so
agreed.
Sweet, exactly, and
yeah.
complimentary and nice. And but then once in a while, you'll get one that cut, you know, becomes a member, and then they're talking to you like, "What rude? Just short and
right.
rude, and what they want, and you know." And then I just right. nicely nip that in the butt, and I just am polite and nice, and you know,
well,
why are you
notice
me
I
like
said,
that? And
notice I
hello,
said if
I'm
the guy
Johnny,
has a heart.
Johnny, I'm not finished.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, so then what I do is what I said, and I, you know, kill him with kindness, basically. Then the next mm-hmm. message, lo and behold, and I bet you, Nicole, experienced the same thing. They're so sweet, and I was
mm-hmm.
trying to figure this out, and I think it is because they think that they have to talk to you like that. They don't understand
right.
how to verbalize with somebody
right.
who is supplying Playboy style content to them, offering, and they don't know how to, you know, communicate with that. Do you find that, and have you analyzed that as well?
Yes, I love this conversation so much. So before I started my site, I made a very clear, energetic decision that the kind of people who are going to come into that space were going to be people who are respectful, enlightened, educated, and just be incredible humans. And that has been my experience the entire time. Everyone has been that way. And even to an extreme, where I will have men message me inside my OnlyFans saying, like, hey, like, I love your content. I just love your energy. I want to be really respectful. So I want to know what are the boundaries here? What are your terms and conditions? And so I love that. So I'm able to articulate because, A, it's my site. It's my body. It's my work. I have terms and conditions. And I state that pretty clearly in the group. But if people have more questions, they can message me and ask, like a lot of them do. And they're like, awesome. I got, you know, I get that. I'll do that, or I'll abide by that. Like, they want to be respectful. And even when men have, like, messaged me in my site asking for certain content, and maybe at that point I wasn't ready to do that kind of content, and I would just write them back saying, thank you so much for asking. I'm not ready to do that yet, but if I ever am, I will let you know. And every time the guys have always said, no problem, just thought I'd ask. Thank you for what you're doing. Love it. Keep going. So it's
exactly.
been an incredibly positive, beautiful experience because I became available for that. I think you can have a really negative experience, But I think that's because women believe that that's all that's available to them. But there's so many adult, educated, enlightened humans who can respect you and appreciate you and treat you exactly the way you want to be treated.
Yes. And what Johnny says about sexualizing, to an extent, you know, that is where they're supposed to do it. And they are afraid to even say anything to me. Some are in OnlyFans, and they are afraid. They don't want to offend me. And I said, No, your comment saying, you know, I'm so sexy or whatever, nice comment, like a comment you would do, you know, in the grocery store or, you know,
mm-hmm.
out in the real world. I said, no, it's fine. This is the place for that. And I appreciate your nice compliments. Then, oh my gosh, I'm getting chills because those guys, they never get to talk to somebody directly like us, you know? And to them, that can change their life. That changes their life. They're lonely. They don't, who knows, maybe they live in Alaska. Maybe there's three people in their city. You know, you never know. So why not express yourself in the way you want to, with your beautiful outfit, your cute outfit, whatever personality you want to portray. It's fun. You know, we love photography. We love creating. We're creative people. There's nothing wrong with it. So, I'm so glad that Johnny found you. This is really wonderful because you helped me articulate it because you are so articulate. It's wonderful.
Oh, thank you, Barbara.
Well, not only that, you know, going to say something else, it's sort of funny because there are two women in my life that I know right now. I won't say their names, you know, for the sake of privacy, that can basically turn me into a giddy little schoolboy, you know, this fifth grader who basically doesn't know what. I think Barbara knows who the two are, okay? But
I only know of one. I don't remember another one.
Oh, okay. Well, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to say it. But, I mean, it's like that giddy little schoolboy that, you know, it's just such a, I mean, and all I'm doing when I'm doing that way is it's like, oh, my God, I mean, I really like you, but I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to say anything gross, you know, I mean.
But then sometimes they do, Nicole? They, by accident, they might say something gross. Well, you know what? Right. Then you are the human being if you sometimes, like, Ruth Gator Ginsburg said in her interview there, you know, showing it on all the news right now, how she said that her mother told her sometimes you just have to have a desk, and because you can't get on everybody's case for everything, every tiny little thing. I mean, we're human here. Is that kind of how you are too, Nicole?
Yeah, you definitely can't pick every battle, and you just your energy time is so precious, so spend it wisely. And I think that's the beauty of having something like OnlyFans is that you're creating a space where it's okay to express not only yourself, but allow other people to express their desires. So there doesn't have to be, like, any suppressing of desires, because that doesn't lead to anything good. Suppression never leads to anything good. But being able to healthily express and communicate and connect and enjoy and reciprocate, really beautiful things can happen. And I love that there's a space where people can come and explore that side and have a good experience and then go on and live the rest of their day doing other things. Like, I think we're giving people an opportunity to connect with themselves and with us in a new and beautiful way, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yes. Oh, I love that. So do you go and chat, like, online where – you know how you do Facebook Live and Instagram Live? I love that. But they have that feature on OnlyFans. I haven't done that yet. I don't know why. It's just like it seems different. I feel like maybe they're expecting something, and I don't want to, like, go on in the middle of the day. I want to go to the beach and say hi. I mean, do they like that? Do you do that?
Yeah, I have, you know, it's so funny. I've not done the live feature yet, but I've been doing OnlyFans for a year this month, and I think that's going to be my, like, gift to them is doing my first live. Because I'm very comfortable doing lives on social media, and anytime we do something new, we're all a little nervous. I'm a little nervous to do a live on OnlyFans, but I'm also kind of excited and just to try something. And I feel like the people in my OnlyFans are so gracious and kind and good people that they'll enjoy it even if I fumble and trip and, like, am goofy, because they know, like, I'm a full person. Yes, I'm sexy, but I'm also a goofball. And I also get nervous, and I'm also a really successful business owner. I'm all these things, and they enjoy all of those elements of me.
Oh, that's wonderful. And so that this month that your members, your fans, are going to be able to – maybe, okay. But it's been a year, right?
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just
Thank
a few
you.
Months, and I'm having so much fun. I feel like, you know, it is fun. I feel more creative. I feel like, okay, there's a reason to put on all of this stuff. I mean, I have boxes and boxes of lingerie and cool outfits.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I just send it to shoot in. And, you know, now I have a reason because I'm not going to wear a lot of this stuff for, like, fashion shoots, you know. I mean, it's fun.
Yes.
And so
no,
I enjoy that
I
part,
totally
too.
Agree. Yes, there's a place where you get to dress up and have fun and be creative and be cute and sexy. I love that, too. Yeah.
And they're just a name. I mean, some people put up a profile photo. It's not needed. You know, to me, it's like when I used to do interviews for Playboy, I was a brand new playmate. I would say, try to explain it to people. Look, it's a fantasy. And then everybody started quoting, like doing that clip of me. It's a fantasy. Oh my gosh. And, you know, it's so funny. But it's so true. Like, let it be a fantasy for both people. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what? They are maybe like your boyfriend or something that you can imagine what he looks like. And so you're basically manifesting.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking positively. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
I'm so involved with this stuff, though.
Yeah.
I like meditating and all that, analyzing everything, and so I get interested, but those are kind of questions that you can address if you want or go wherever you want with it. I want you to tell us anything that we have missed asking you about.
Aww.
And what you really want to convey, if there's anything more, but so far it's been amazing.
This has been such a good conversation, and so glad to be connected with you guys. I actually just started following you on Instagram, Barbara, so we can be Instagram friends.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so
yeah,
I followed you on Facebook, and after the show, I'll connect with you everywhere else, too. And is there Twitter?
Yep, I've not been on Twitter in, like, 4 years, and I just picked it back up last week. So, yes, come join me on Twitter. I'm there.
Okay, good. And so, everybody, let's just do a little shout out before you continue of, you know, who you are and where everybody can follow you. Nicole Mitchell. And is a pastor turned stripper or preacher turned stripper?
Pastor turned stripper.
Oh, I love that. And you have a website, NicoleMitchell.com, and you spell Nicole with a K, not a C. And I've already connected. I've already looked at your website. It's so well done. You're so beautiful. You have
you
a
so
tremendous
much.
Background and personality. And so it's been wonderful. And please, everybody, go and follow, especially on her OnlyFans.
Yes. Her Come on over.
Yeah, subscribe.
We have a good time in there.
Yeah, that's where all of us. The fun is, I mean, that's the most creative part, I think, sometimes. Okay, so, Nicole, tell us a little bit about, like, in a nutshell, though, how were you raised? Like, what kind of little girl were you? What accolades did you get? Where did you grow up? Stuff like that.
Yeah, so I grew up in a military family, and I grew up all over the U.S. and in Europe, and I do think that was a beautiful gift given to me. It's hard. It's hard to move a lot and hard to always say goodbye to your friends. But I also got to see parts of the world, meet new people, learn new cultures at a very young age. And I believe that's what helped me make me today. I'm really good with people. I'm really good at kind of blending in different cultures and learning cultural ways and respecting people and their differences. Seeing the good and the beauty. What?
Nicole, when you... Yes, my cousin, my uncle was in the military. My cousin, they got to go to, you know, grow up in Italy for a while. What countries did you grow up in? What different countries?
All over the U.S. And then I lived in the Netherlands as a little kid for almost 5 years. And then I moved to South Korea at age 21 for almost 5 years as well.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. That is a wonderful place. So, I mean, aren't they not ahead in all of their technology?
Yeah, they are. They definitely outpace.
Wow. Them. Oh, yeah. My daughter is watching this a lot. And is it where they created anime?
Anime? You know, didn't know that because I'm half Korean, but I don't.
You are?
I want to say it started. I am. I want to say it started in Japan, but I'm not sure. Yes.
That's so cool. Okay, yeah. So your parents, okay, so what country did you start in? Tell us, like, the order when you were born.
Yeah.
Where were you born?
I was born in Mississippi, and I lived there for less than a year before we started hopping around, and we hopped around to Texas, we hopped around to Idaho, we hopped around to Minnesota, Alabama, we went to the Netherlands, and then my parents ended up settling in Minnesota, where I went to high school. And I went to college in Ohio at this little tiny Bible college because that's just where my life was headed at that time. And then moved to Korea to be a high school teacher for 5 years at an international school. And ended up moving back to Minnesota to be with my parents because I had gotten married. I got pregnant right away, and we wanted to have support when our first kid came. And then we just fell in love with Minnesota. I blinked my eyes and had three kids, and 9 years passed by, and I was like, what is happening? Because I had so many big dreams and ambitions.
Wow. And so you
live
in Minnesota right now?
No. So a year ago, I moved to California because that had always been my dream. And I blinked, and I was like, wait, this wasn't the end-all be-all. I still have dreams and aspirations and goals. And so I packed up our family and moved here a year ago, and I am so happy to finally be in California.
Oh, goodness. Okay, and how many kids do you have?
Three precious kiddos, age 10, 7, and 4, two girls and a baby boy, and they're just amazing.
Oh, yes, they are. How wonderful.
I just want to go ahead and bring up this story. Apparently, every day, I think it's something your son does something with his hand or something. But what is he talking about?
Every day, my 4-year-old is such a lover, and every day he says to me, "I love you, mommy. Thank you for being my beautiful princess. Thank you for being my queen." And he'll kiss me on my hand. He'll kiss me in my face. He'll blow me a kiss.
Wow.
He's just the sweetest little lover. And
I knew it.
I
the little boys are so. Oh, my gosh. The little boys are so sweet. And, you know, little girls, too. But the little boys, so very sweet. Like, sweeter.
Yeah.
I mean, so innocent and precious. And same with, like, little new cats. Like, the male little kittens. They're so much sweeter than the girls.
Yeah.
It is something.
I have a girl cat. I've never had a boy cat.
Oh, my mother had a boy cat. I didn't want it either, you know, for the obvious reasons with, like, brain and stuff, but they were the sweetest. They turned out great. No, I did actually have a couple of boy cats. Sorry, and they were the sweetest, but you had to get them fixed. Sorry, people, if you don't like that. I mean, I adopted him, and he was already fixed. But, anyway, I there's so many questions I have. So, your parents, okay, if you're half Korean, was your mom or dad from Korea, and then also the Netherlands connection? Mom or dad from the Netherlands?
Good question.
I have a lot of my ancestors were from Norway, and they all moved down to Minnesota, and I know there's a connection there as a family thing, or was it a military thing?
Right, it was a military thing. So my mom was born in Korea, was adopted at a young age and grew up in the U.S. My dad grew up in the U.S. as well. And our time in the Netherlands, yes, was purely for the military.
Okay. So, wow, that led you around a lot. And what other languages do you speak?
Oh, just English and Konglish, which is basically English and Korean smashed together, and it's not a real language.
At least you can communicate, though.
I can communicate a little bit.
Those languages would be so hard to learn, at a later age, trying to learn it. Maybe not as a little
Korean
kid, of course.
Yeah, I didn't grow up speaking it. My mom didn't grow up speaking it either. I learned it as an adult, and thankfully Korean is the easiest of all Asian languages, so I just kind of lucked out in that department. But if you don't use it, you lose it, and I don't use it much, so I've lost a lot of my Korean language that I used to know.
That's wonderful. But, and now you say that you are enjoying California with your family. So where, like, in California do you live?
I am in Orange County and love it. I think I would prefer L.A. for my personal career. Before COVID, I was going up to L.A. 3 days a week, but just for my kiddos and their school and community, Orange County has been really great for them.
I agree.
So that's the move. Yeah. And so
I live in Huntington Beach.
What?
I live in Huntington Beach in Orange County.
Oh, you're super close.
Yes, and I moved here specifically, wanted to live here since, I don't know, 30 years. And I had to do the L.A. Beverly Hills thing for 25 years. I had to.
Yeah,
I get it.
Totally.
And then I lived in
yep.
Vegas. But you know what? I chose Orange County for the family-oriented, you know,
yeah.
child family life. So I agree. And L.A. is so close. Everybody still thinks I live there because I go up. You go up way more than I do. Maybe I go up once a month. But it's
okay.
an hour. And during COVID, we're finding all these different ways to,
yeah.
you know, side hustle.
It's so doable.
Making money. And
yeah.
My life has always been that. I've been a model,
yeah.
actress. You know, that's a million things. I love the creativity. So did you find that your online businesses and fan sites and all that kind of thing has risen? And if so, what new things are you doing?
Yes, I will wrap it up with this question just because I have to get going. But there's so much opportunity in LA. Like, my modeling career took off so fast. The amount of acting opportunities is there's so many. The amount of people who are into personal development who like having a life coach is prevalent. So everything has blossomed here, and I'm so glad because I'm the happiest I've ever been, and my business is flourishing. I get to work with my ideal clients and have the kind of lifestyle I've always wanted. So I'm very, very happy. And I'm so happy that I got to meet you guys. I'm so honored that you would have me on your podcast and be willing to share my story and just connect with me. So thank you so much for this opportunity.
Well, you're welcome. And you are so perfectly on time because now that you have to go, our show is coming to a close because it's
mm-hmm.
2 minutes from
perfect.
Closing time.
Yeah.
We're so good.
So
we're so good, you guys. Yes. Thank you. We just thank you so much for coming on and sharing so candidly. And we are so excited to follow you and the listeners as well. We've done a couple shout outs to everybody. If you want to listen to this show and find out how Nicole Mitchell turned to stripper, listen to this show. Find us on YouTube. And while you're there, Life, Laughter, Happiness YouTube, don't forget to subscribe. And you'll find all of our other shows there. And we have a Roku channel, Life, Laughter, Happiness Learn. Find us there on Roku under education. And we're building that, and it's fun. We've uploaded a lot of new stuff. We're excited about it. So follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We just redid our website, made it more concise. You'll be able to find the next show. If you want to listen live that day, go to lifelaughterhappiness.com front page. Click it. And you're going to have all the information you need to listen live to that show that day. Okay. Thank you so much, Nicole Mitchell and Jonathan Alexander. All right.
Nicole,
have
do
a
you
night,
have
everybody.
A
wonderful night?
I told her about Roku.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you, guys. Have a wonderful night.
Okay.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Nicole.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.